If you don't have an outline, please raise your hand and somebody will make sure you've got one. Get out a pen. We're rolling through the next couple of weeks here, finishing up the series on the battle for your life, about spiritual warfare. And about the fact, and I'll say this just off the cuff, I am surprised the number of people that I have had to take time to share with them and tell them that this battle is real. They know if they turn on the news and there's a scene from a war zone and there's things blowing up, they know that's real. But they have a hard time, Christians, believers, realizing that this battle is real, and they'll ramp it up a little bit more. They have an equally or even harder time to realize that they are targets. Because they can't see it. They can see it on the news in a war zone, but they can't see it here, that they're the ones who are in a war zone. They're in the battle for their life. There is an entity in creation, Satan, who wants to sift you and to take you and immobilize you, and if could, kill you. The intentions are real. The hatred is real because of Jesus Christ in you. That's his way to get back at Jesus. And it's important to realize this. In Ephesians chapter 6, does a fantastic job of getting us in that mindset of we're in a battle. And what do I do to prepare for this battle? And I have to admit to you, we've been going through the different weaponry week by week by week. And I just tell you this, I never would have thought about shoes. I never would have thought about some of the things that are in here. And if I was to go through a storehouse full of weaponry, I wouldn't have taken half of these weapons. But I will tell you this, when it comes to this morning, these are two weapons that I would have chosen. Because I would have been walking through that storehouse with you and went like this, need one of these, need one of these, because now we're getting down to some pretty important stuff. So with that said, let me read for you. I'll start in verse 16 so you can get the flow of the verses here. But our scripture for this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Let me read verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. That was last week. You remember that. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Would you bow your head with me, please? Would you ask the Holy Spirit right now to teach you? Maybe you're not used to praying that way. Communication factor with God like this. But would you do that right now? You pray that God, the Holy Spirit, your tutor and your guide in this life, would teach you by this word this morning. Would you pray that way? Go ahead and do that. Our Father, I thank you that you hear our prayers and surely teach us. In your Son's name we ask this. Amen. Article number 5 on your notes. Got your notes out? Article number 5, and that's this. For our spiritual protection, the helmet of salvation. Let me give you some facts about what this means, what a helmet was to these people in this day. Remember, Paul, chained up to a soldier who is in full battle gear. That's the way they were, always prepared for the fight. Put that in the back of your mind. That's coming up in another week or two. And the point of the matter is, as he's sitting there, the Holy Spirit inspires him to look at this soldier and is basically going through the different aspects of what this soldier has for protection in a real fight. And the Holy Spirit inspires him to write about our protection system. There you go. Pretty cool, isn't it? Get some background on this. This was a head covering that was made of bronze and with leather. It could withstand, listen to this, I'm reading historical background on this, I'm thinking, I got to get me one of these. It could withstand a direct hit from an arrow. Okay, that was an arrow. I'm not sure it made the noise, doink, but you get the idea. It could withstand a direct hit from an arrow and also the direct hit from a sword. That's how thick this bronze was. It was heavy. And when the armor bearer, the guy who gave out weapons, gave it out, he'd hand it to a soldier. Now, I don't say many things that are that genius, but listen to this. When he handed this item out, it had to be taken by the soldier. It had to be procured by the soldier. And it needed to be trained with, because this thing was heavy. And if you took somebody like me and put it on my head, I might start going like that with it. You've got to train and build up your muscles in order to bear this helmet, which was going to protect what? Your head. Which is what you always try to do, right? When I was a kid, I was about 8, 9 years old, I'm fairly athletic and would often play with the older boys down in the park. Now, it's East Coast, so it's a little bit rougher and tumbler, and that's what I remember, and it really was that way. And the guys down the park were mean, and they were all 14, 15 years old, and they were bigger than me. But I wasn't down there and played football with them or baseball because I could play with them, except for the football stuff I really couldn't. And they liked to play tackle. And so I'd go out with them, and I would just get creamed. And I would come home, and something would be bleeding, and something would be bruised. And I'd come home, I'm a tough guy, you know, but I probably got concussions like you wouldn't believe. And so I badger my dad, and I said, some of the guys at the park have helmets on. I need a helmet. And my dad wouldn't let me and wouldn't let me and wouldn't let me. I'm like 8 1/2 years old. And finally he says, okay, we're going out and getting you a helmet. So we go out and we get me a football helmet. And I am like big man on campus with this football helmet. I tried it on. It's just perfect. And my dad and I worked at his workbench and we put extra padding in it because I said, those guys are big and they're going to cream me. I need as much padding as possible. Took that thing out, went down the park with my new blue helmet. Won't tell you what team I was going after. You guys can figure that out later, okay? But I had my blue helmet out, and I got down to the park, and sure enough started playing football with these bigger guys. But I had my helmet on, so I was going to take these guys to the cleaners. Second, third play was early on. I got hit and got taken into the concrete because being where we are on the East Coast, part of the tackle football was on the pavement too, just for the fun of it. And darn if my head didn't get crashed into the concrete. And I got up, and my helmet was split right down the middle. But, hold it, that's not the point. The point of the matter is this. Forget about the junky helmet that my dad got me. That's probably another story, all right? Forget about that. But you know what wasn't hurt? Good job. I was afraid somebody was going to make a funny right there, but they didn't. Thank you very much. My head wasn't hurt. The helmet was destroyed, but the helmet worked. The helmet's that important. And it's hard to look at any of the sports, the major contact sports, where the helmet is in a vital part of what you do. Riding on a motorcycle, same thing, a helmet. Work, helmet, you get the idea. But I want you to notice this. You know what the helmet's for, right? To protect this thing. You've got that. Many of us have worn them. But here's what I want you to see. As the Holy Spirit illuminates Paul on what to write, as he's looking at this Roman soldier, look at this. Our helmet, our protection is what? Did you look at verse 17? It's our salvation. Did you see that? Our helmet, our protection for our head is our salvation. I always thought that was something I did before. I did that many years ago, my salvation. I prayed the prayer and I came to Jesus. And I had salvation, right? Come on, right? Okay, I did. That's when I got the Holy Spirit in me. That's when I received Jesus. I had my salvation. But listen, that was then. And I've grown so much since then. I understand Scripture so much more. My relationship with Christ has definitely matured. And you know what? That was then. That was baby stuff that I did when I first came to Christ. Now, look at me. I'm walking upright in Christ. I'm eating adult meals. I am now a man in Christ, and I am well past that. True or false? Completely false. I'm not past that. You know, our helmet, our protection, is our salvation. My salvation continues now that I'm on this earth, and it provides my hope for the future. But it's also the basis for what I do right now. My salvation gives me real hope. Hold it. There's a virus. It's spreading. It could get a lot worse. It will get a lot worse. I might know some people that get really sick. I might know some people who die. What are you holding on to, Mike? My salvation is my hope. It's a secure knowledge that at a point in the future, I will be with Jesus Christ for eternity. You heard this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. It talks about our hope being the salvation as our helmet. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Listen to this. We are to know the hope to which God has called us, that being the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. I have that hope, and that hope is this. Complete deliverance from this world to be with Him forever. And while I'm here, I've got a protective device for this, my spiritual head, and it's the full hope of my full salvation. That thing that started with Jesus Christ when I was a teenager. Think about when you first came to Christ. Is still the thing that is a foundation for me moving forward. That salvation event in the history of the world is the most cataclysmic thing that could have taken place to me. You would say, no, it's when I die. No, it's that. Because it began that relationship with the God of the universe, that intimacy, and it carries me right now. And you know what? The day coming when I'll be laying somewhere in a bed about to die, and it holds me then. It's a secure hope, all because of that salvation that is still in play. The second article here for this morning, which is article number 6, is this. The sword of the Spirit. This is an interesting little thing to be talking about. This is the sidearm of the day. Listen to the background on this. It's a short, two-edged, sharp weapon. Just picture a short sword, 18 inches long. The training for this, everybody's got to watch me do this, all right? There was training for this. I went into the Roman soldiers' training on what they got trained for with their sword. And it's not what you think. It's brutal, and it's mean, and it makes you a killer. Here it is. You ready? First move they learned was this. And they have double edge. It was either this way, and by the way, you aim for here. I don't have to get the doctor up here to tell you why you'd aim for here. You don't aim so much for other places. Oh, if that's the only thing you can hit, you hit. But you know what? One good one of these, right through here or right through here. And doctor, you don't have to come up and tell me this, but this is gonna cause something that they can't fix in the emergency room. True? Very true. All right? It's called cut. They had two maneuvers they learned. One was the cut, and the other one you'll like even better is this, the thrust. With everything that you had, you aimed for the middle of the chest, and you thrust this entire blade. And you know you were successful with the thrust when it came out the back of the individual and the part of the knife that came out was filled with blood. You knew it hit your target somewhere in the cardiac region. You just aim and there you go. Done. The technique was called the cut and the thrust. That's what the soldier was taught. And by the way, that's what they drilled on all the time with each other. I'm not sure it was live fire drills. You run out of soldiers, but you get the idea how that works. And this weapon, was called the weapon that caused all of the victories and conquests for the Roman army no matter where they went. This weapon was known and it was feared. And if you saw a Roman soldier with this thing on his side, you knew that he was trained in that, was proficient in that. And you knew that he could wield it. And you wouldn't bother with the guy because you knew very quickly he could do some big damage. In fact, I read this in the historical record. Listen to this. They said this one weapon made the soldier a killing machine. They were taught how to kill quick, and how to kill a lot of people and do it very efficiently and take them out of the battle. Now, here's what I want you to note about this, all right? We've been covering all this stuff, breastplates and helmets and shoes and things like that and what you wear for the soldier. The thing you need to note about this particular thing is that the sword is the only offensive weapon listed. You don't take your helmet off and swing it at people. You don't take your breastplate off and swing it at people. It's not meant to do that. Those are defensive weapons when something was thrown at you. But this sword is the only offensive weapon where you cut and you thrust. Get the idea? Not a spear, which you think they would have said. No sling, no bow and arrow, nothing. Only the sword was needed for the conquest. And now here we go. Here's where it ties up better than better. Our sword, our offensive weapon in the Lord for the spiritual battle is what? I want you to catch this. Very good. Thanks for saying that. It's the Word of God, and now I'm going to do this. I haven't heard anybody say this, I think, in ever. And I want to have you write this down, all right? The sword is the Word of God. Do you know what the meaning of the exact words in the scripture, the Greek, are for the Word of God? Do you know what that means? I want you to get this down. Get your pen ready, okay? It's not going to take a lot of words, but it's worth it. The Word of God actually is God's utterances. It doesn't sound like genius until you listen to it, and it's not from me, by the way. You think about that. God's Word is God's utterances. I go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. It says this, that man does not live on bread alone. You've heard this how many times? But on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Apparently, when the Lord speaks, unless you think you've got it all recorded, you don't. You've got some of it recorded. When the Lord speaks, it's a big deal. And when the Lord speaks, there's real power there. There's so much power there that when Jesus is led out into the wilderness with Satan, and you know the story, he gets out there and Satan is tempting him at a very weak time in his human existence. And what does Jesus do? Jesus should have went like this. I've been waiting for this fight with you for all eternity. You dirtbag, you're going to get it now. And you've seen, like me, the superhero movies. He punched him and Satan went halfway across the universe. And we read that, we go, that's really cool. Jesus is working out his frustrations on him. That's not what happened. It's not even close. It makes for a good movie, but it's not how it went. Jesus gets tempted, and Jesus then does what? Anybody know? He uses, this is so boring, so bland, so passe, no big deal. Jesus uses the Word of God. And somehow, that makes Satan go the other way, and it shoos him off. Really? Hold it, stop. The Word of God? He used the Word of God alone? He didn't flex one of the guns and say, hey, look at this. This is going to get you. He didn't do any of that kind of stuff. He didn't say, I've been working out for all eternity. He didn't do any of that. No. He uses the Word of God. And the Word of God was enough to repel Satan. Not once, not twice. Hold it. If that Word is that potent, why in the world would I not use it? If that tool is available and is the only offensive weapon that I can use, why would I not run to it? Why would it not be the first thing that I do? Satan's got all these strategies. You just got to picture him as a ninja. He's got all these tactics, all these stances, all these face gnarls. And it's kind of scary to look at. Jesus has got every tactic and antic and strategy that you can have. And I've got a defense system available so that I can survive the attack when he comes at me. Hold it. Then, there's a time, follow me. There's a time then where I'm called to move the kingdom forward, lest you think we're just supposed to exist. There's a time when I'm called to move the kingdom forward. This is the format we've got. There's other formats. But this is the one we feel that we're led to and we're going to do. And I'm called to make the kingdom move forward. Hold it. And the only way... This is my sword. The only way this is going to happen is if I wield my offensive weapon. And what is it? Well, I'm going to what? I'm going to cut. And I'm going to thrust so that our side can move forward in the kingdom of darkness. You ever heard it explained that way? That's fantastic. We're on the brink of doing something where we need to be doing some cutting and some thrusting to make inroads into Satan's kingdom. And we do it by the Word of God. That's why, if I was just to let my guard down, which I do a lot of times just to tell you what I'm thinking, that's why I can't believe that I run into a regular group of people during the course of a year, maybe 5, 6, 7 people who claim Christ, and I believe genuinely do know Christ, and they tell me they just don't care about the Scripture. They just don't read the Scripture. It's just not important to them. One person told me that just rather recently, and I was like, and they're not from here, from my, well, I won't tell you where in my neighborhood, but yeah, and told me just weren't going to read the Scripture because there's just so much there, and just never really got it, and this and that, but I believe in Jesus. I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you really were a child of God, and you were given one weapon, why would you take that weapon and throw it in the woods and go around without it? Why would you do that? You mean you're going to go into this spiritual battle without your weapon? In today's equivalence, you're going to go into battle without your gun? And you know the enemy's got guns? And you're not going to bring your own gun? You bring your gun. And in this case, it happens to be the Word of God. I need to read it. I need to understand what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says. You've heard this before, but in light of what I've just said this morning, hear this brandy new. Listen, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You mean to tell me you got a tool that's on that kind of level that will, you got defense, but you got a tool that will cut and thrust and do the stuff I just read in Hebrews, and you've got it right here, and you mean to tell me you're just going to throw it in the back of the closet and then go out there into battle? You don't stand a chance. You're going to get your head cut off. Oh, no, you're not. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be ineffective for the kingdom of Christ. That's what's going to happen. And when it was time for you, what you're called to do, cut and thrust for the kingdom to move forward, you won't be able to do either because you don't have your sword, the word of God. That's how important this is. That's how important it is that you and I feed from it. We let it plant itself in our hearts. We let it apply to real life situations, like a viral condition taking place around the world. This is the thing that develops me into Jesus Christ. And I wanted you to notice this, that I've got to take it. I've got to pick up this sword. I've got to pick it up. And this is the last preaching point I make, but I think it's a good one. You know, when I go to get this thing and the armorer is handing these swords out, I go back to this. The scripture says you got to take it. All right, watch this. If my hands are clustered and filled with a bunch of things here, and they try to give me that thing, I won't be able to take it. I might go like this, but I don't get a good grip on it. And the truth of the matter is, there's lots of things in this world that fill my hands. There's lots of things here that I'm concerned about, that distract me, that consume me. Things I think of. The 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up wide awake, and the things that are going on in your mind, that's the stuff that's in your hands. And in order for this to make any difference, I've got to take it. And I've got to take it with an empty hand, not bringing anything in, and let Jesus Christ give me that thing and that weaponry that I might, listen, be able to fully grasp it all like that tightly for myself. Because I, my friends, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and other places, I'm in the battle for my life. God still speaks. God still acts through His Word. God's utterances are that important. We need to regard them as our spiritual cutting and thrusting tool. Would you bow with me? And as you're bowing this morning, I really believe one of the reasons that the believers seem powerless in our culture, we've lost all kinds of influence. There's none now. We're almost laughed at. And I believe that the reason we're in this situation is a lack of commitment to the Word of God. On the followers of Christ's lives, who for some reason think they can go without their sword and go without the Word of God, God's utterances are not that important to them. I need to re-realize what an important tool that this Scripture is. I ask you to do something right now you probably didn't think you'd be doing this morning, but could you take a moment right now and could you recommit to the Word of God? Maybe for some of us, would you commit to the Word of God for maybe the first time in your life, or maybe you just wandered away from it? Would you right now before the Lord, would you renew your commitment with His words, with His utterances, making it the priority in your life that it has needed to be all along as you face all of the issues that this life throws at you? Would you pray that way right now and recommit to that Scripture, to that sword? Our Father, we want to be Your children who are known by Your Word, who act according to Your Word, think according to Your Word, react according to Your Word. We want to be those kind of Your followers. So, Father, this morning, we at Candlewood do recommit to the priority of Your Word in our lives. Father, how we praise You for it and thank You for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.